Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres and Leafs tonight. It is the penultimate game of the regular season, and for Buffalo, the hope for within the room and as they take to the ice that they can push back in a way like Chicago did last night against Montreal, and perhaps other examples around the NHL as far as playing it out with a significant measure of impact and interest, and ultimately, you know, delaying or interrupting Toronto's quest to actually win the division.
I mean, there's plenty of ways to look at it. That is one. You know what? You got to play spoiler against a team that's in your division. And look, it's spoiler in a way that they want to clinch first place in the Atlantic. But, you know, you're at home, a couple of games left. Put that in front of you and say, that's what I'm going to, you know, get up for. And I want to play my best because of that. There's the other way of looking at it. You did not play well in Florida. Lindy Ruff said it on, you know, this station this morning. He said in his press availability this morning, basically, we weren't really deserving to be up 2-1 after the first period. We scored two goals in the last 30 seconds, and the second period was no good, and we didn't play well. He also kind of said something like, we didn't really play well in the last couple of games, especially in Tampa, meaning they get a shootout loss in Florida, but it was a Florida Panthers team minus everybody. So you're looking at, okay, well, you know what? That was a game that was there for you to have. You didn't get it in Tampa. You know, and then in Tampa, you didn't play well. So, yeah, how about you use that as a little bit of motivation individually? So there's plenty on the line for the Sabres to be able to use with a couple of games left here in the season.
We are expecting Luukkonen and Stolarz as the netminders. We will not see Beck Malenstein tonight. We'll await a call-up from the Sabres from Rochester in that regard. Of course, they could always go 11-7. Maybe not. I guess
maybe not, because
right?
There's not a seven defenseman.
There isn't a
7
D. So anyway, yes, they could go 11-7, meaning they could call up a defenseman. Anyway,
they could go 11-6 and just like say, you
could,
know what?
But that would usually only fall under cap concerns throughout the course of a season, and they are not dealing with that. But obviously, part of it, so Malenstein can't go, but the bigger story, obviously, is Owen Power. And the to be determined time frame, diagnosis, explanation as to just how long he will be out. And it's, as I'm sure you can attest with many teammates over the years, it is the pretty much the worst way possible to end a season.
Yeah, pretty much the worst way possible. Why? Because, you know, a lot of players nowadays, they go right into their off-season training. They take a couple of weeks off and, you know, boom, they get right back to the gym. And, you know, you're looking at making, you know, the gains that you need to. Now, Owen Power, it was reported that he was wearing a brace on his left leg in Tampa on Sunday. So that happened Saturday, obviously, in Florida, that he was wearing a brace on his left leg. When you look at the video, you're like, man, it could have been the right, it could have been the left, it could have been a lot of different things. Lindy Ruff addressed that today in his media availability, saying, yeah, not good long term. He did say, well, I don't know, we could categorize it as month to month, week to week. We don't know yet. We have to get more information. There was question about surgery. He said, I'm not sure. Look, at this time of year, it's really tough. It's tough for a player like Owen Power. Why? Because Owen hasn't gotten to this his best yet. There's flashes, there's promises, but what you're looking at Owen for, let's see, this summer going into next year is to become stronger, physically stronger, to become quicker, faster on the ice, to get into a groove that is going to separate him from, you know, just, you know, good defensemen. He needs to become elite. He needs to become great. And I think the two things that we've noticed this year is, okay, he's not as strong in front of the net. He needs to get stronger in front of the net. Needs to be more like a bull, like I'm going to move you out. And he needs quickness. He needs to get quicker. When he gets the puck on transition, it's like it takes him a long time to get going. Long legs, long body. He's not as quick. So I don't recommend the P.K. Subban off-season training, because if we recall years ago, P.K. was doing all these quick turns and it looked like he was digging in the ice. But I'm saying you need the time to be able to make those gains and to work at your skating, at your strength. And it looks like this is going to be a challenging summer for Owen Power. So we'll have to see. I'm sure we'll hear more after the season when the doctors all get together and they put a plan for Owen Power, but it doesn't look positive at all for Owen over the next few weeks here.
Well, I mean, it certainly clouds the discussion as it pertains to the blue line, simply because you're dealing with a little bit of an unknown at this point in time, and that we're sitting here in this conversation without all clarity. But the point is throughout the year, even with them being the only team to have three defensemen with 30 assists, and, you know, the fact that you have had such meaningful offensive contribution from the top three, everybody recognizes that that didn't mean that this was going to be the way forward.
Nope.
Especially when Bo Byram needs a contract. And how is that all going to look? Well, now it doesn't look the same, because you're talking about Dahlin as Dahlin, Byram unknown contractually, Power unknown physically. I mean, yeah. I'm not sitting here saying anything, but like, you have to be open to all situations. So if you were contemplating in any way making a move of big significance, this would impact this, would it not?
It would impact this, because number one was your move, including Owen Power. You know, so like, was there talk, you know, at the trade deadline this year with other teams as to, you know, somebody like the Sabres called Colorado a couple of years back and said, would you be willing to move in Bo Byram? No, we want to keep him. And then a year or two later, then all of a sudden Colorado calls back and says, yeah, we'd maybe be open to it right now. It takes time. You have those conversations. There's got to be teams that have called on Owen Power. They've called Kevin Adams and the Sabres and said, what about Owen Power? And maybe you're like, I'm not ready for it right now. Maybe revisit in the summer, maybe next year. Let's look at where we go. Obviously, the Sabres weren't ready for it right now because they didn't move him. But right. Who knows? Like now, the injury, the Byram, you know, contract situation, you know, your landscape on defense, something that you have to get better at. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, Thompson, 40-plus goal scorers. Tuck, Peterka, McLeod's season that he's at, Zucker's season that he's at. You have the pieces up front, I think, to say, hey, you have balance up front. You can move forward with that group. On the back end, there's a big question mark. And now there's even more of a question mark, because who knows what that's going to look for Owen Power, if that is surgery or not, and what he comes back from that injury and what he looks like. So there's a big question mark in that department for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the two ways of looking at it was if you, you know, didn't feel like you wanted to add a third high-paid defenseman for long-term, then presumably you might have been entertaining moving Bo Byram for a significant asset.
Yeah.
But now, how does it change if you don't know? You will know, but for argument's sake, if you don't know right now just exactly how power is going to come back in the fall, right?
Like, well, that's again, the thing. You
is,
do know.
There's a whole lot of, like, I'm not trying to muddy the waters here.
But by the time you have to make decisions, you'll know what,
right,
you know, the Owen Power situation is. And if he has to have surgery, how his recovery is going. But you never know what that is going to look like mm-hmm. for their training camp next year. When if you go through, whatever it is, I don't know, but it looks like it could be significant. So you yeah. never know that. Ligament damage, you know, all of that. That's always, an unknown moving forward. So, and we've seen players come back from injuries and they're 100%. Maybe not the first year. Sometimes they are, but 2 years later, you know, it takes time. And we've all seen it.
Well, isn't that an interesting way to phrase something, though? Because there's urgency right now.
There is urgency.
Right? And so, yeah, like that changes everything. So,
And especially a guy that's already kind of, like I said, Owen is already a little bit on the, I'm not going to say the slower side, but there needs to be gain with the speed. And I remember when Denny Hamel with the Sabres had Zdeno Chara fall on his leg and basically he needed surgery. He had, I think it was MCL, ACL, whatever. It was everything, right? Denny was already not a fast player.
Right.
Could he score? 100%. He could shoot the puck. He could score. But he was average speed at best before the injury and never got to average speed again after that. Now, mm-hmm. was he a great scorer in the AHL? 100%.
Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer. AHL Hall of Famer. Fantastic. But he never was able to recover. Now, okay, that's 20-plus years ago. There's a lot of changes that have happened in, you know, how this gets handled or whatever, and the recovery and the training. I totally get that. But certain players reacted to it different than others. You just don't know what that's going to be. So there's a question mark for you.
For me or
well, for everybody?
General? Okay.
For you, general. I'm putting it out in the general, idea. But anyway, so that's the question mark.
You ever have days where you have no clue about certain things? Like, even though we think we're paying attention to stuff? And then, okay, here's my admission of guilt for the day. I had no clue that the Avalanche were done with their season.
Yes.
They played Avalanche, all 82.
The Avalanche are the only team in the NHL that are done with their season. It just so happened.
How did I miss
they have
this?
Terminated Gabriel Landeskog's conditioning stint. Correct. And basically has been rejoining the Colorado Avalanche. So, but they don't have another game, so they can now start practicing and Thank prepare you. For Dallas. Dallas, by the way, has
terrible. Lost six in a row. They've given up 29 goals in the six games. And amidst that six-game slide is that atrocity, worst ever performance, worst ever collapse in NHL regular season history in a final minute against Vancouver.
Three goals in the final minute, yeah. And losing OT.
Terrible. What are they doing?
They were, what is it? They were 1 point back of Winnipeg or 2 points back of Winnipeg. They were going to play them. And the Winnipeg Jets just absolutely, like, torched them. And then now they're 8 points back of the Winnipeg Jets. Now, if Colorado had two games left, I would say Colorado would have a chance to pass Dallas because Dallas is not going. But yeah, that's one thing. Okay, I'll admit something to you. So yesterday,
it's
I'm
not
really
be that bad.
It's gonna be kind of weird.
Really?
But I'm watching Colorado, Chicago, Montreal, and we're gonna talk about what happened in the shootout. And Montreal got a point, but it's still not good enough to clinch their playoff spot. Columbus still has life. So I'm watching it, and then I'm kind of watching some videos, some Daryl Hall's video on YouTube. He's got a great YouTube channel, by the way. And so I'm watching some songs, some video, whatever. I'm not paying attention to the LA Edmonton game all that much, but I'm seeing all the rough stuff that's happening. And then Philip Deneau comes in the interview in the second intermission, and I'm not really like paying attention who's playing, who's not playing. And Deneau goes, well, they got their B team out there, and they're just trying to hurt us. So I'm thinking, well, Connor McDavid's out there. No, that's not the B team. Well, no, Connor McDavid, he wasn't out there. So that's how close I was paying attention to the game. I thought McDavid was back, but they decided to sit him in that one. And yeah, Philip Deneau was right. The Edmonton Oilers did have their B team because they had nobody in the lineup last night. And they may not have Darnell Nurse in the lineup either because he decided to cross-check Quentin Byfield in the head while he was laying on the ice. So that may cost him a little bit.
What do you think it costs him?
I think that is going to cost him two games. I think it's going to be one in the regular season and one in the playoffs. That's how I would deal with it. Yeah. Although, you know, I haven't had an update on Quentin Byfield yet, but he didn't return. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that?
Well, here's
precautionary.
Okay. I can't say this because I don't know, so I won't. But there would have been reason for the coach to not put him back out there.
And the reason is, look, we want Darnell Nurse to be suspended, and we're going to play them in the first round of the playoffs.
Again, I'm not going to say that, but they also chose to take Darcy Kuemper out in the third period when the
score
of a shutout. Like, seriously? So there was a lot of stuff happening in this.
That was the ultimate adding insult to injury. Look, you were up 5-0. And our number one goaltender who's going to face you in the playoffs is pitching a shutout and playing well. And we're going to remove him with 12 minutes, 11:50 or whatever it was, and put David Rittich in because, number one, this thing is getting out of hand. And number two, we can do that. And they still beat him 5-0. Like, that was the ultimate, like, screw you, Edmonton. We are going to beat you this year when we meet you in the playoffs.
Do you think they will?
Yes.
Really?
Although, I mean, McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman, they won't have Ekholm for the first round of the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. So that we know.
Well, why do you think they're going to win, LA? I mean, this will be the first time in the four consecutive years that they've actually had home ice, and whatever that's worth, I mean, it usually goes out the window after night one of the playoffs. But
yes,
the Kings are elite on home ice this year.
Elite.
I don't know. Like, are you like really, really firm in your conviction?
I think they match up
here?
Well. I think they match up really well when I look at the LA Kings this year. Because over the past, it was, okay, let's have Kopitar be our guy that's going to match up against either Draisaitl or McDavid. They have Deneau. But now you know what else they have. They have, who's there? I'm pulling it up here. They did try Pierre-Luc Dubois last year. It didn't really work. But they have Byfield that can play there. I think Kevin Fiala is having a great season. They added Kuzmenko. I think they have a little bit more depth than they used to. So to me, that makes the matchup better for the LA Kings.
Well, the race for the final wild card spot in the East. It's Sabres Leafs tonight, by the way, and we'll be on their 6:30 pregame coverage on MSG. And of course, as always, game can be heard right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Chicago was able to come back last night, get the lead, unfortunately lose the lead late. Going to try not to criticize the officials. Anyway, the Hawks.
You can say that was a phantom call with 4 minutes left to give Montreal a power play. It was, even when the call happened, the referee didn't put his hand up in the air until the crowd went, whoa, in French and in English. And then the arm went up. And who was the defenseman? It was Murphy, right?
Murphy, yeah.
Connor Murphy. He's looking over like, what are you talking about? He's like, you put your arm around his neck. And he's like doing a signal, whatever. And then they showed the replay. And it's like, that wasn't a penalty. And Newhook sold it. Good. Right. Okay. Newhook sold it. They get the power play. They come back. But it wasn't the first and last issue the referees were going to have in that game because the shootout was a disaster.
I loved it. I thought it was beautiful.
It was awesome. What a move. What a move by
Frank Nazar. What a recovery.
Frank Nazar. What a move. He almost lost the puck, by the way. Yeah. And then he got it back, and it fooled Montembeau a little bit, makes a move to back end. So he shoots. The referees make no signal. The red light doesn't come on. They don't add the goal on the Jumbotron. And then they can't find the puck. So they assume the puck may have been stuck in Samuel Montembeau's gear or something. Like nobody, the referees did not signal anything. So instead of going to the goalie and say, hey, do you have the puck? And looking in his gear or looking in the net, they went to the penalty bench and grabbed another puck and put it at center ice. Okay. Well, when you went to the penalty bench, nobody from the penalty bench attendants told you, hey, hold on a second, because we don't know if this was a goal or not. Now, they let Patrick Laine go out for a shot. Laine gets stopped. And then Chicago is complaining, hey, that was a goal. What are you talking about? That was a goal. The shot, Frankie Nazar, that was a goal. So the referees go to the penalty box, and now all of a sudden there's a headset, and all of a sudden you look at the replay, which if you had looked at the replay at first place, you would have known it was a goal. You saw it, Duffer. I saw it. The Chicago broadcast saw it. The Amazon people didn't know it was a goal, but whatever. And so now they're like, okay, put the goal up. And Montreal's complaining. You can't put the goal up after you said it was no goal. It's complaining for nothing. It's a shootout attempt. It didn't affect Patrick Laine. Just put the goal. But it's a mess. It's a mess. And now the league, to kind of cover their tracks a little bit, put out a... you know, they always put out like an NHL Situation Room email blast or memo, whatever. It basically said that the Situation Room made the off-ice officials aware that Frankie Nazar's attempt was a good goal, but the off-ice official did not relay the message to anybody, and so they just continued like it was nothing. So it's kind of pointing the finger. You did it, whatever. It worked for Chicago, but it was a weird, weird situation.
Okay, so here's the thing. I watch 90% of games on mute, which is perfect because it takes all the nonsense out of the equation. And I was watching the Chicago broadcast, and I saw that he scored, and they immediately put it up on their shootout ticker.
Yeah.
And I never... So I was laughing that, you know, Brendan Gallagher starts complaining... Later on in the shootout, I'm like, there's nothing to complain about here. And then it was made more comical because then, you know, the officials eventually went and found the original puck.
Oh, which it took forever for them to go and check it.
Which is a tough look for them, right? But from a viewer standpoint, as I'm just sitting there enjoying in serenity, silence.
Serenity now.
I'm watching and I'm going, okay, this is good. Soderblom stopped it. They're up 1-0. Here we go. Let's see. You know,
isn't this the best? The best argument to bring back the goal judge sitting behind the goals? Because I hate number one that you don't, and everything's being replayed, so you don't need the goal judge. But I can guarantee you, the goal judge and everybody sitting behind the goal knew that puck was there. But they're in Montreal. Yeah, they're not going to point out, hey, the puck's in the net. But if that was in Chicago, maybe it would have been different.
Well, Nazar knew it was in the whole time.
Nazar went by the bench and gave the high five to all the players. The players had no idea. They're like, what are you doing? He goes, I scored.
What
were
they thinking if they didn't know? Like, where did they think it went? It didn't go up out of play.
No, but it could have been. At first look, though, it could have been like if Montembeau had made the save like underneath his arm. Yeah. And maybe it would have got stuck in his pants or in his pads or whatever. But... even the goalie was like looking back, like Samuel Montembeau was looking back, like I didn't touch this, mm-hmm. right? It was, and then just to make matters worse, Nick Suzuki goes in to his shootout attempt to extend the shootout. He makes a great move to the back end. It just goes off the very edge of Soderblom's pad. Mm-hmm. It hits the crossbar and it goes up in the air.
Uh-huh. And well, so, I was holding my breath too,
because I'm like, where is this puck going to land? I once got beat by actually Rod Brind'Amour when he was playing for Carolina. He came down, he shot it off the crossbar. I thought, woo, I'm like almost doing the fist pump. It went up in the air, it hit my back and went into the net. Mm-hmm. And it's a good goal. As long as it doesn't cross the goal line. Mm-hmm. Like if it goes off the glass and comes back, it's not a goal. But yeah. That never crossed the goal line. It went off the post, up in the air. And then it landed right next to the left leg of Soderblom. And then he's like, it hit his knee and it stayed out.
He was so casual.
He had no idea, yeah. I think. Uh-huh. But the best look was, and I'm laughing just thinking about it, the referee from the other side, zooming in, he came in so close to the net to give it the emphatic, no goal, no goal. I'm like, where was that on the Nazar attempt? Like he just overcompensated on the energy on that last one. I'm losing my voice thinking about it because it's so funny.
What would you be thinking if you were the Columbus Blue Jackets watching all of this? Like, imagine them having a bunch of guys sitting like
we're still alive. We're still alive.
Oh, amazing. Anyway, they need two wins in regulation, and they have to hope that Carolina knocks off Montreal in the finale tomorrow.
So. Is it possible? Yes, it's totally possible.
100% possible.
And, you know, I was talking to some Montreal people yesterday, and they're like, if they don't beat Chicago tonight, I'm nervous. I'm nervous. The Canadiens. I'm like, it's still pretty much 95% chance that the Montreal Canadiens get in. But mm-hmm. Columbus is at Philadelphia tonight. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, oh, well, they probably could beat the Flyers. And then they host the New York Islanders. Let's just think this way. Columbus wins tonight. Okay. And then on Thursday night at the same... Montreal plays Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay. So Montreal lose, let's just say, to Carolina Wednesday. And Thursday, Columbus is hosting the New York Islanders. A win in regulation gets them into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think George from our studio is driving to Columbus. I think Jeff is driving to Columbus. I think Duffer, we have a game Thursday, but you may say, you know what? I'm out. The hockey world is going to want to be there in Columbus to feel what that would be like. I don't think it's going to get to that, but it would be unbelievable.
Western Conference wild card race resumes tonight. Three teams trying to nail down two spots. We'll dive into that. We have Buffalo, Toronto tonight, and we have Fan Appreciation Night coming up as well. That happens on Thursday at KeyBank Center. Look forward to having you in the building for that one. Sabres.com/tickets. There will be Lucky Row giveaways, discounts on concessions at the team store, plus Alex Tuck bobbleheads for the first 15,000 fans. Again, Sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours. We know this. A week from Friday, the Bandits are going to open up playoffs at KeyBank Center. They got the number one seed throughout in their quest for a three-peat, and the captain, Steve Priolo, joins us next.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Final week of the NHL's regular season. Buffalo has Toronto in town tonight. Then they have Philadelphia at KeyBank on Thursday. The Bandits close out their season this weekend against Georgia before hosting a playoff game on Friday, April 25th as the number one seed. The captain, Steve Priolo, is with us. Looking forward to yet another playoff run. Steve, welcome to the show. How would you describe the journey that has led this group to first through the regular season?
Oh, it's a rocky one, just like every year. It's a battle of about staying healthy and trying to all get on the same page and making trades at the deadline. And it's up and down, but I think we're pretty comfortable right now.
Let me ask you this question about Lucas Nielsen, because I did a Bolt for Bucks event with him, and he was about as quiet as can be. I was trying to get him to speak a little bit. Is he quiet like that in the locker room and during games? Because, man, I know he's just a young kid, but he was a quiet kid.
Marty, he might even be quieter than that. I don't know. It's like he probably talked to you more than he's talked to anybody else. He's just that way. Like, he seems... it seems like he's taking it all in, and he's like kind of analyzing what is going on in the room. And when you're as good of a lacrosse player as he is, we all just sort of accept the fact that he's a quiet guy, and you just do what you can to try to pull a little bit out of him. But yeah, he's just like that. It's all good.
Is there anything different for you about this team? I mean, Nilsson's young. You made moves at the deadline. You're not exactly the same as you were a year ago. But the offseason mantra after winning a second straight was basically try to run it back as much as possible with the lineup. So what does it feel like?
It feels good. It's like last year we were we started terrible, right? It was like I don't even know if we were going to make the playoffs. And then this year we start, 7-0. So it's, you never know what the season's going to bring. It's just about each game and each sort of, I know that's a cliche, you just sort of go game by game, but you really have to in lacrosse. You don't know about injuries, you don't know trade deadline stuff, and there's so much that comes with chemistry on a team and getting on the right page that, even the games we lost this year, we gained a lot from them just in terms of, chemistry and being, our togetherness. And so there's a rocky road, but it's nice that we're hitting a good stride here going into playoffs.
So Dane Smith leads the league in points with 129, and Josh is right behind him at 126. If you had to give the ball to one of them to try to get points, would you try to get Josh closer to Dane or get Dane to just run away with it?
You get the ball to Dane, and then he'll give it to Josh when he needs to.
Okay.
That's what makes them so beautiful, though, right? Like, I'm so fortunate to be on a team with those two guys at this point in their career, right? Like, I've played with them throughout their whole careers in the NLL, but they're hitting a stride right now where they've taken the sport by the reins and they're running with it. They've made it full-time jobs. They're doing the youth clinics, their youth leagues, and they're doing such a good job with the sport. I'm honestly just so proud of those guys and happy that they're being so successful. And, us D guys, me and Paulie and Vino are happy to do whatever it takes to ride those guys into glory here.
Kyle Buchanan and Ian McKay might be worthy of some flowers here, though, right?
Well, you go through the whole offense, right? Like, these guys up there, they're, the balls, everybody, the points go through Josh and Dane, right? But, Bucky had a heck of a game, and Mickey's, his scoring is incredible. And then a guy like DeHoka, Nanticoke, is like, he can play five shifts in a row without touching the ball and be the most important guy on offense all at the same time, right? The way he can read plays and set Dane up to get open to find Josh and goes through the middle and he takes that punishment. And it's just, our offense is special when they play together like that. So it's awesome.
Well, for you as a defender, though, like, the offense is always want to set up picks and screens and these kind of, like, get in your way. How do you get around that? Because I feel like you guys defensively have done a good job to be able to get around some of the picks and the screens that everybody's setting up, trying to open up a shooter. Do you just bulldoze the guys over? Or do you got to go around and try to find a different route?
Yeah, a lot like basketball, there's multiple ways to defend a pick based on the offensive guy, right? So whether or not I'm going to put pressure on him going over top of the pick and sort of shoot around and make sure he doesn't get a shot and force him to the net, or if he doesn't have as good of an outside shot, maybe I'll go under a pick and force him to shoot an uncomfortable outside shot. And at the end of the day, how we defend players is all about making Vino comfortable in net, right? So you'd appreciate that as goalie. Yeah. Is like, it starts with him. What is comfortable for him? And we'll adjust everything off of that and give him the shot he wants to see. So hopefully he gets 60 shots in a game and they're all just exactly how he wants them and he can see them. And that's perfect D for us.
The location we find you in today, is this the setting for your new and regular podcast?
So this is Rosselet College, and this is where I teach grade 10 and 11 outdoor education. And the log cabin we do it out of is the Mrs. Eaton, so the Eaton Center. They used to have this used to be their cottage, so that's her old sewing room that I do it out of with a coworker of mine. So, yeah, dinner with the captain. My wife calls it my therapy for the week. So, I need to talk about the sport. I need to talk about it. And up here, there's not a ton of people, so I found one guy with a listening ear, and I just talked to him about the weekend.
That's awesome. By the way, when I was in grade 11, I played hockey literally 6 hour north of Montreal. I was in Amos, which is by northern, Ontario, Timmins, Ontario, but on the Quebec side. And yeah. Gym class used to be all about, living in the woods. So we had survival, like we had to use a map and a compass. We had bow and arrow. We had kayak. We had all of these gym classes to be able to. So what is outdoor education? What do you teach in outdoor education?
You nailed it. That's what we do. We do in okay. the fall and the spring, we're doing a lot of like, we have, we're on Rosser Lake College. So it's a massive lake up here. I know some of the NHLers have cottages on this lake and, mm-hmm. you know, you'll see PK Subban go by in his big red boat and all these guys up here. And we do a lot of like sailing. We do a lot of like canoeing. We do a lot of that sort of stuff. But right now it's maple syrup season. So
yeah.
we did a lot of like tree identification in the winter and then we figured out and then boiling and making pancakes. So it's my favorite part of the season is maple syrup and it's running right now. So it's the best.
There's no snow to put the syrup on and make it the hard, like, in French, we call it cire d'érable, right? It's like, yeah. So we used my had uncles that had the maple shack. And I told Duffer, my parents were actually at the old maple shack just this past weekend where they have to go collect the buckets of water, put it in the, and then they, you know, snowmobile it back to base. So that's awesome, man. I got to go up there. I'm going to have to go and visit. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what we're doing though, is we have the buckets out there and every day the kids go and collect it and we're boiling it down. And I always save some. So in the wintertime we can refine it that extra little bit and put it on the snow. Like you were talking about, we make that taffy. Yeah.
Yep.
Are you on like elite Wi-Fi or 5G or what are you on up there? This is a pretty good signal.
I'm literally just on 5G. I'm in the woods. Just it's still I don't know. There's cottages around. There's just no town nearby. So if I have to go to the store, it's half an hour down the road. But it's all just cottage country. And you know, we have 140 kids here that are all boarders, and it's a beautiful place to work.
So what's your schedule like when you have a game on Friday? Let's say, do you come in the day before? Do you guys have shoot around the morning? Like, what is your game kind of, I don't want to say game day because it's probably like a couple of days of like you have to kind of plan ahead.
Yeah. So if with the Friday game, with our first playoff games on a Friday, I'll go down Thursday night and spend the night in Buffalo. And then I'm there all day Friday in Buffalo at the arena. Yeah. Right. And they're so great here at this school. They just support me fully. Right. And with the Georgia game coming up this weekend, it's, you know, I'll teach whatever I can on Friday and then go jump on the airplane and away we go. And yeah, it's just, you deal with it. And then with the practices being on Wednesday, that's the one that gets me, is because that's the drive down. That's the drive down and the drive back and get home at 2 a.m. and go teach at 8 a.m. And that's the one that gets you. But, you know, we try to avoid that one as much as we can.
Just another day in the life of a champion. Thank you, Captain. Man.
Thank you so much.
There's Steve Priolo of the Bandits. They've got Georgia on Saturday to close out the regular season, then home playoff game Friday, April 25th. Tickets on sale now. Bandits.com/tickets as the push for the three-peat begins in playoff form on Friday the 25th. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You mentioned Sabres fan appreciation coming up and the fact that there's a 50-50 raffle with a guaranteed jackpot of $50,000 presented by Northtown Automotive. So secondary prizing to come from this as well. Team signed jersey, signed stick, and more. So head to sabres.com/5050 or scan the QR code on your screen. Obviously, all proceeds, as we've mentioned time and again, go through the Sabres Foundation and ultimately back into some incredible organizations in our community. So this is one of those win-win situations, as we like to say. And we're back with two games to go in the regular season tonight. Toronto is in. They are up against Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Buffalo's going to look at Stolarz at the other end from a Maple Leaf standpoint. It's been a tough season series, Marty. They've lost both. And they were in a five-day window back in December where the Leafs got the better of the Sabres, both in Toronto and here. What are you anticipating tonight?
Well, I mean, obviously, I want the Sabres to kind of show, look, number one, you're playing Toronto. It's always a big rivalry game. It's an emotional game even if it's a November game. And now Toronto can lock up the Atlantic Division. So you want to push back. You want to say, hey, not so much. You're not going to do it tonight. But even more so because the game against the Tampa Bay Lightning was not good. That's twice now they go to Tampa and give up a ton of goals, can't seem to defend. Toronto is the same type of team. Mm-hmm. Toronto is very much like Tampa. They have the high-powered offense. They have the Matthews and the Marner and the Nylander and the Tavares and Matthew Nyes now. And that's like Tampa. And they do have a pretty good goaltender, Stolarz, going to play tonight. So show that you've learned from what you weren't able to do against Tampa and apply it against Toronto in this game tonight.
What else would you be looking for within the lineup that is not expected to have Malenstein? And obviously, we talked about Owen Power off the top. And, you know, we'll await the length of time that he'll be out, but obviously he's out for the remaining two.
Yeah, and we'll wait to see who gets called up. Obviously, the transactions have not happened yet, so I've been like keeping an update or look at you know, social media and see who will be getting called up, but we haven't heard anything. So we'll see who that is, who gets to come up and play, because that will be a forward. But the biggest thing for me is Luukkonen in net. So, yeah. You know, there was a time over the last month where he didn't play as much. James Reimer played a lot. James Reimer was playing well, was winning. Luukkonen comes back, and there's been some good, you know, okay moments. And now he played in Florida. I guess a shootout loss, but is trying to build off of that. He'd only given up two goals to Florida on Saturday. So trying to build off of that. To me, that's a big point of emphasis, is seeing how Luukkonen plays today and potentially even Thursday. He's probably going to play the last two because they're the last two of the season, and you want him to get at least maybe a little something moving forward.
Well, if he gets significant run support, I will like his chances. Buffalo is 20-0 when scoring six or more on home ice against the Maple Leafs. They are 9-0 when scoring seven or more against the Maple Leafs on home ice. So may that well be the case tonight.
Now, how long did it take you to find that information?
Because sometimes it's easy now. It's super sortable on
NHL.com. So you do the parameters, you go over six goals in a game, blah, 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 and you get them all?
Yeah. Okay. It's quick.
Because I was saying,
it doesn't mean I don't make endless mistakes in the search process, but I feel pretty comfortable in that one.
Yeah, no, that's good. It is, because those rabbit holes sometimes, you know, you start looking for one stat, you find another, you go into... Last night, that's what I did. And I know we're going to talk about the Western Conference. We still have a little bit of time here. But I ended up catching a clip on Instagram or something of Daryl Hall, formerly of Hall & Oates. He does this thing called Live at Daryl Hall's House. It's an internet project that, but he had Kenny Loggins on and he had Lisa Loba. He's had like 90 different episodes and they played their own songs or whatever. I watched it for like 2.5-3 hours last night. Like, it's 11 o'clock. I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. And then all of a sudden I look over, it's 3 a.m. Like, what? Come on. Like,
what was so captivating about it?
Because it's the way they, like, so they, maybe they practice the song independently, like separate from one another. But Kenny Loggins was great. He goes, okay, this is how we start Footloose. I'm going to do like this Modern Love thing where I'm going to go, chun, 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 chun. And then the drum's going to come in. Okay. And after the drum, he goes, wait a second. I messed it all up. I know the song. It's my song, but until I play it, I don't really. So then they're like, okay, I'm going to wait 7 bars before I come in with the piano. Okay, that's good. Do you want to do the harmony? Like, they talk about it. It's so captivating because it's elite musicians that are back to their like garage, you know, band type of days where they're playing in the basement or in the garage at their house in high school.
I feel like I should just let you run the rest of the show with this because no one cares about the Western Conference. Am I wrong to say that right now?
No. I'm telling you, go check it out. I showed my daughter, and some of them aren't as good.
Can you send me a link?
Yeah, I'll send you a link. Some of them aren't as good because they don't talk through it, but some of them are really like kind of cool or whatever. But
I'm guilty of that too.
Yeah, so anyway. But okay, Western Conference. It is important because tonight we could have the final seeding. The finale of, depending on what Minnesota does, their last game of the season, depending on what St. Louis does, their last game of the season, and what Calgary does. Now, Calgary has another game. So, you know, you look at right now, Calgary is 2 points back of the Blues, 3 back of Minnesota. Anything could happen. Calgary Flames could finish in the first wild card position when it's all said and done. Yep. So there's a lot of moving parts here in the Western Conference, and the Flames. Look, I'm not saying I'm hoping the Flames get in, but you know, with Dustin Wolf and how he's played, and you know, Huberto's season, and I just feel like the Flames have been a great story. So, you know, the Wild have been a great story, being able to hold down a position without Kaprizov for a long time. Mm-hmm. The Blues, their resurgence. So all three are deserving, but I kind of have a sore, soft spot for the Flames.
Blues need a win in regulation would be good.
It would clinch it, a win in regulation.
Great, actually, yes.
Because the ROW is on their side, yes.
Mm-hmm. So they have...
And Minnesota needs 1 point. One point clinches it.
But Utah's been rolling. They're 6-1-2 in the last nine. They threw up another 7 last night.
Yeah.
And they are into St. Louis tonight. So we'll see.
Utah's going to finish with 90 points potentially. They're at what, 89 right now. They could get over 90 points and miss.
They could. This is their final game tonight as well. Yeah. And obviously Vegas doesn't have anything to play for against Calgary. So I would like the Flames' chances here to keep continuing the push. But all that being said, emphasis back on Buffalo tonight. And just maybe a quick thought on what you think Luukkonen feels going into these final two.
Well, if you look at the way I looked at approached games often, it's not about, oh, I got two games left. Oh, I got this 60 minutes game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Cut it down in smaller segment. Play the first 5 minutes. Feel good after five. Then play the next five. If you look at the big picture and next year and all of that, it's too overwhelming.
It can be, for sure. And tonight, it for us, starts at 6:30 on MSG. Yeah. We will see you then. Sabres and Leafs.